So tonight, I'm going to have the longest title for a message I've ever had. Really. It is called The Exploitation of You, The Enslavement of the Human Race, and the Source of Real Life. I'd like you to bow your heads with a title that long. It's got to be really important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask you tonight to change us. We do ask you tonight, Lord, to reveal to us your truth. Reveal to us, Lord, the things that we each need to see and understand about the way in which our world really operates and what is the world's real motive. Set us free, Lord. A lot of us here tonight, a lot of people here tonight need freedom. And we ask you, Lord, that you just guide us in this evening. Guide us through your word. Open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You could turn me down a little bit, Ian. It's echoing in these. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer. I just want you to think about it. Have you ever read a story? I'm going to tell you the story in a minute. I want you to think about how it made you feel. When you read the story of some adult, might have been a grandpa, an uncle, a parent, a neighbor, a teacher, a priest. Who played on the desire of a child. The desire that a child has to be loved and paid attention to. And they exploited that, giving them candy and toys with the ulterior motive of sexually abusing them. How did you feel when you read the article, when you heard the story? Didn't it just enrage you? Didn't it just fill you with this tremendous longing for justice and for a world that doesn't exploit small children? I know I read stories like that and it about sends me over the edge. But let me share something with you that makes me equally angry. That makes me equally desiring a change in the world in which we live. And it really is the primary reason that I do what I do for a living. And that is this. The world in which you and I live is exploiting you and enslaving you in the same identical way that a priest or a teacher or some other trusted adult has exploited and abused small children. It's just that most of you don't get it. You don't see it. You don't understand it. We're blind to it. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, and this will be part of our text for the evening, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to a vast crowd that was listening to him this particular day. And he's telling them the story that he is the gate for the sheep. That all others who've come before me were thieves and robbers. In other words, they were phony. They weren't real. But I am the gate for the sheep, and those who come through me will be saved. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. There is one great force of evil at work in our world today, and his name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. His name is the devil. He's a real being. He's an extraordinarily powerful being. He's so powerful that he is influencing every world system on the planet. Every governmental system on the planet. He influences the media. He manipulates you and he exploits your desire for life. And he twists it and he turns it. And then he enslaves you through the power of sin. And he robs from you. and he destroys you, and eventually he kills you. And the world in which we live in plays right into his hand. If the devil is the thief, then the world is the accomplice. The world system in which you and I live. To exploit someone is the unjust or improper use of another person for one's own advantage. To enslave someone is to make them completely subservient to a dominating influence. Completely subservient to a dominating influence. Our world exploits your desire for life. God put in every single one of us a desire for life. A desire for real life. A desire to really live. A desire to experience love. A desire to experience joy. A desire to experience peace. Some might use the word a desire to experience real happiness. And every man and woman on the planet is pursuing those kinds of things that they have deceptively believed is going to make them happy. It's going to give them real life. And they become enslaved. The world and the devil prey on your life. Not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y. You are prey for them. They exploit your fears and your desires with lies and false promises. That'll cost you money, peace of mind, ends up enslaving your life, your thoughts, and your emotions. Now, I'm going to go through some examples tonight of the way in which the world exploits you. Some of them may be more relevant to you than others. There are a multitude more than I'm going to go over here this evening. But I wanted to kind of give you a few examples of the way in which the world exploits us, lies to us, and robs from us. The first one may not seem so big to you, but just bear with me. When I was a kid, it's not so much today. They can do it in print media, but they can't do it on television. But when I was a kid, they could put cigarette ads on TV. Now, the only cigarette ads I see are usually when I go to get my oil changed. And I'm waiting real early in the morning, and I'm thumbing through some magazines. You ever seen the Virginia Slims ad? It's always this stunningly beautiful woman with a cigarette in her hand. Or always this incredibly good-looking guy. And the message that is sent is that, man, if you want to be cool, and if you want the ladies to like you, if you want the guys to like you, if you want real life, if you want to experience real flavor, then try these cigarettes. Now, it seems funny, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry that's destroying the health of millions of people and every person that smokes. Every person, it's ruining your health. May not kill you all, but it's ruining your health. And the very woman you thought it would attract is repulsed by the stench of your breath. And the color that eventually makes your teeth. And it's ripping money right out of your pocket. Go see what a pack a day costs. Start adding it up. And eventually, for millions of people, it's killing them. It's giving them emphysema, heart problems, shortness of breath, difficulty with life, and they're addicted, and they want to quit, and they can't. And they try, and they try, and they try, and they try. It all started out with something really innocent, something that wherever you look, it always looks attractive. See, when I was growing up, It was always the really cool guys. Now, you rarely see it in movies anymore because it's gotten such a bad rap, but it was like Steve McQueen and, you know, Robert Redford would have cigarettes in movies. Charles Bronson, guys that you haven't heard of, but that's okay. Never see Tom Cruise with a cigarette because times have changed a little bit. But you see a few people. The next one is far more common, actually far more accepted. In fact, it's never going to get a bad rap. It's alcohol. Now, they also made him take certain ads for alcohol off TV, but not the beer ones. The beer ones, man, they're always... He's got a Michelob in his hand, or a Blue Ribbon, or the High Life. They make the High Life one funny, don't they? That big chubby guy walking into the door. $10 for a hamburger? Man, you don't deserve the High Life. Get the High Life out of there. You're like, ha, 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 ha. You know. How many people, don't answer this question, grew up in homes where beer ruined your life? Where alcohol was the dominating influence in the life of the home? How many of you watched relatives ruined by alcohol? How many of you are trying to recover from it today? And it stole your money, and it wrecked your life, and many of you may have gotten DUIs, and you're lucky to be driving today. And it's happened all across the country, because it's all predicated on a lie. My father, I had an interesting father. Yeah, he's interesting. My father was the kind of guy that he didn't take stuff lying down. So, you know, in when I was growing up, the fights were still on television. Now at least you can get UFC Wired. As if boxing's too violent to put on TV, but you can get UFC Wired Saturday at 6 o'clock. I'll get into that in a little bit later. UFC is Ultimate Fighting Champions. People in cages trying to kill each other. It's like male pit bulls. So we'd be watching these commercials and this beer would come on, you know, and it'd be like, the babes would walk in, and these guys, and they were all like just so cool and awesome. And my dad, he would just go off. He'd go, man, I'm telling you, Mark, those blankety blank liars. He said, I ought to take you down to the Tip Top Lounge. You ought to see what kind of people are hanging out in the Tip Top Lounge. Their teeth are missing, their belly's hanging over their belt. And they sure don't look like those people. Because alcohol will never get you there. It gets you down to the Tip Top Lounge, Mark, in the VFW hall. My father, he knew how to make a point. You ever been to the Viet? Well, never mind. Listen. I thank God for our veterans. I thank God for our veterans. I do not mean to disrespect our veterans. That's not my point. But you go to these small towns. You go to these small towns, walk into the bar. You think they have life? They look like the TV commercial? You may find some around here where Prince and his pals hang out, or they want you to think they do, and people look cool, but inside they're hollow and they're empty, and many of them are in treatment centers trying to recover, costing thousands of dollars of their money, and you never know if they're really going to get well or not. And they're broken. Because they got exploited. Because they got enslaved to a lie. Let's talk about the fashion industry. Now, I know it has a much greater impact on ladies than guys, although I see it for guys to a degree, but the fashion industry exploits and preys on your desire to be attractive to others. It's somehow you'll feel better about yourself, so you spend your money on their clothes, and you'll find more love, and you'll find more romance, and then they change it every 6 months. Get more of your money. And then you get a little too chubby to wear the clothes. And then you get depressed. And then you get sad. Think about how many people, boy, I'm not going to go off on this tonight, but you think how many people really, really believe Victoria's Secrets will change their life. And now, you know, they got the Victoria's Secret angels in, I don't know what program. I've not watched it, but I've seen the advertisement for it. And it's a lie. It's a lie. And you've got ladies today that are trying to recover from anorexia or bulimia, or frankly, see, often, here's the thing to understand. For many women, it never gets to that point. It just plays on their head all the time. I'm fat. I'm unattractive. They compare. And the devil's got you right where he wants you. And the world's exploited your weakness. And you can't get out of your head. Your own head. You're stuck there. You're trapped there. It's ruining your life. Let's talk about the credit industry. If I hit a little close to home tonight, it's not on purpose. These are just things I wanted to comment on tonight. I think people are being exploited. We are headed into a recession right now. It could get really bad. One of the primary reasons we're headed into it is because of the subprime debacle in this nation. Now, there are a couple factors to subprime debacle. Subprime loans. You go get a loan where you often don't even have to pay back close to the principal. The interest rate is artificially low, and you think it's a really good deal because the banks loan money to people that should have never been able to qualify for a house to begin with. Because they want to be nice, and they wanted to help your dream come true, right? If they really wanted to help your dream come true, they wouldn't raise the interest rate. Now, all of a sudden, it went up through the roof. And we're seeing stories across this country of people whose mortgage has gone up literally $700 a month in 30 days. They're foreclosing all over the place. They're walking away from it. They're upside down in the house. And all these wretched investment companies that simply prey on the weak and exploit your desire and their greed. People who started flipping houses, artificially raising the cost of housing all over the United States. And now for the first time in many, 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 many years, housing prices are actually going down. The value of a house is going down. They exploited your desire to own more house, or your desire for a house blinded you to the reality that once the rate went up, you'd be ruined. It's right there in fine print. I've had young people call me about this. They go, oh, wait, did you read the fine print? Yeah, what happens? Your hope is, oh, I hope I can refinance in time. What if you can't? Well, if I don't, and then here's what I heard. But if I don't buy now, house prices are going up and up and up. Oh, yeah? Well, right now they're going down, down, down. It's a buyer's market. And now you've got people who don't know what they're going to do. And many lives are ruined. They're suffering incredible stress because they don't know how they're going to make it. It brings great stress to a marriage, great stress to the family. And bankruptcies and foreclosures are starting to go through the roof. Now, the next one's a little delicate, but I really thought it would be good to touch on. On Saturday nights, now I'm going to get to Saturday night, around 6 o'clock, you got this UFC wired. And because I reach out to young people and I walk on my treadmill to try to maintain some measure of health as I get older. So occasionally the treadmill's down in this, what's called a little family room. It's just a little room in the basement. And the TV's there. So occasionally I turn the TV on when I'm on the treadmill. I don't always. Most of the time I use my time on the treadmill to pray. But on Saturday night, 6 o'clock, UFC Wired's on. So I thought I'd find out what all this cage match stuff is all about and all this ultimate fighting, and I find it really interesting. But what I find most interesting is the commercial. The commercial. Excite. Men, have you always wanted male enhancement? I'm serious. Imagine sitting there with your mother. You always wanted male enhancement. Now it can be yours. Size is a big deal. I must get, I kid you not, I have a spam filter, and if you're a guy here, you got a spam filter, hopefully. I must get 30 spams a day. And I won't tell you what the headers say because most of them are really indecent. They all have to do with male enhancement. So let me read you what I wrote, and let me read you a couple statistics. Male enhancement has exploited and preyed on men's insecurity and lied to them about their products, stolen billions of dollars from them, all the while none of the products actually work. And literally, in a 60-year study, listen, fellas, a review of 60 years of research in the British Journal of Urology also found that 85% of women were completely satisfied with their partner's equipment. That means 8.5 out of 10 women don't care. They don't care. And yet, on Sirius Maxim Radio Channel 108, it's by far one of my most popular topics on Sex Files. The switchboard goes crazy with our mostly male listeners. Anytime this topic comes up, men want to know if they're normal. It is easily the most common male hang-up and a serious, agonizing problem for too many. Social and psychological consequences like low self-confidence, sexual anxiety, fear of relationship, social maladjustment can wreak havoc in the bedroom and in relationships. And it's tragic. Because the devil has taken this beautiful thing that God made, intimacy that was meant for just your spouse, and he's driving you crazy with it. And it really isn't funny. It's tragic. It's tragic. And we got a generation. When I was a kid, you'd have never, ever, ever, ever seen an advertisement for male enhancement. You know what it does when you take a 16, 17, or 18-year-old kid, male, and you bombard him, you bombard him, you bombard him. Same thing with women, and we'll get to them in just a moment. You bombard them with, you're not good enough, she won't like you, you could have this, you could have that, all because of the vile, wretched greed of some SOB in some office who wants your money. And they are raking in the billions of dollars, and it doesn't even work. And more importantly, it didn't even matter to her. We're idiots. Sin makes us absolutely stupid. The power, the deceptive power of the devil is unbelievable. Body part surgery or body enhancement products for women have exploited and preyed upon their desire to be desirable. Bilking women of billions and billions of dollars, causing them great emotional harm as they continually compare themselves to the airbrushed phony images of broken down stars, totally deceiving themselves about the nature of love and what's most important about them, their character and their heart. Their character and their heart. And I've talked to so many women whose lives are ruined, absolutely ruined. Women, you are of much greater worth than the sum total of your body parts. And in a very, very short time, I don't care what you put in them or what you do, they're going to wrinkle and sag and you're going to get old. And you're going to hope to God then that you're with a man who has God's perspective, who understands what's really important, and that pleasure does not depend on the size of your chest. And I kid you not, there are millions of women's lives that are being ruined, or, when I say ruined, ruin's a relative term. I'm talking about they're in the state of constant emotional turmoil and self-reflection, and obsessively concerned with and insecure with, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not good enough, can I keep him around enough? You don't want a man that you'd have to keep around that way. And the devil's using you, and the world is using you. Pornography is a plague. And it exploits and preys upon a God-given desire. God created men and women. We are physical beings. We are, most importantly, spiritual beings. But He also created us for sexual intimacy. And I'm not going to get off on a long talk about this tonight. Pornography exploits and preys on your desires and addicting you, robbing you of your ability. Listen to me, men. Listen really carefully. It will rob you completely of your ability to have a healthy, vibrant relationship with your future spouse. All the while using phony, manipulated images, robbing you of time, money, and your moral sanity. How many of you ever been to an airport? Been to a train station? Been to the Mall of America on a day when there's 100,000 people? Now, I don't want you to do this. Just take my word for it. I don't see women past me that are built like the women on some of those sites that they advertise. How many times has a Pamela Anderson passed you at the mall? Because she's bought and paid for. She cheated. And then what the devil does is shove her down your throat, see, all the time. And gals, they feel the pressure too. And she's the idealized one of them. There are many others now. Idealized image of, oh, that's what men really want. And you men, you think that's what you really want. I wouldn't be married to Pamela Anderson for $1 trillion. Talk about being sent to purgatory. And I mean that. I really mean that. It's a plague. And I've watched it destroy many men's lives that I know. And I know many men secretly. It plagues their life. And they're bombarded with it. Ladies, everywhere they go, they're bombarded with it. Every image. Every commercial. You seen the recent car commercial, the Cadillac STESXT? Red Cadillac, woman's driving it. She goes, the real question is, when you turn your car on, does it return the favor? Since when is my car supposed to turn me on? And you think I'm going to pay $45,000 to sit my hiney in that leather seat hoping maybe it'll turn me on? Am I a jackass? Do they really think we're jackasses? Yes, they do. The devil does. That's exactly what he thinks you are. That's what the world thinks you are. And they use you. And they use you, and they use you, and they use you, and you're in debt, you're in hock up over your head, you don't have a moment's peace, you're wondering how you're going to make the next payment, and the borrower has become the lender's slave, and you are a slave to the system. Offer a lie. Offer a joke. Listen, don't take this personal. But who the heck needs a GPS sensor MapQuest on their dashboard? Just call your friend and say, send me some directions, email how to get there. Get out a map. Holy smoke, are we that stupid? You're driving down the street. Well, I don't know where I'm at. Let's see, my cell phone. Hi, Joe. Yeah, I'm driving down the street. Can't figure out where I'm at. No, just go ahead and pay an extra $3,000 for the stupid navigation system on board OnStar. We'll save you. We'll find you wherever you are. I'm like, listen, you may find a use for it. That's fine. And I'm not saying you're a dummy if you use one. Well, I'm trying to illustrate to you that with the world, it never ends. Did you know right now? Listen, you think I'm crazy? I know some of you do. That's because you're deceived. See? Yes. Okay, now listen really carefully. You think the GPS sensor's a big deal? Now they're testing cars that don't have to be driven. You just sit your big old hiney in the seat, put on the seatbelt, push in where you're going, and it takes you there. Next thing you know, you'll be sitting on a toilet and it'll be, wipe, please. I couldn't resist that. I just couldn't resist. It's unbelievable. I'm sorry. Sometimes the truth hurts. Listen to the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3. It wasn't so long ago. This is the Bible. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn dupes of sin. Ordered every which way by our glands. Our glands. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us back our lives, and there's more to come, an eternity of life. You can count on it. Christ alone gives us real life. Real life is the power and the ability to live free from the power of sin and enslavement. To live righteously, free from the exploitation of the world and the devil, free from the lies he tells us and the emotional stress caused by those lies, free from shame and guilt. That's life. That's life. I'd like to close this evening reading to you from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. And this is probably one of the most important passages in the Scripture. For you have been called to live in freedom. You've been called to be free. Not the freedom to satisfy your sinful cravings, but freedom to serve one another in love. See, the more we try to satisfy our sinful cravings, the more we become addicted to more things. Because it isn't sex that'll make you happy. It's not possessions that'll make you happy. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus said very clearly, a man and woman's life does not consist of their possessions. But everywhere you look in our society, it's all about what you got. And Jesus, if I could just have a little more, just a little more, then I really live. And then you get it, and it's like a drug. There's a rush. There really is. There's a rush. You go buy something new, there's kind of a rush. And then it wears off because it wears off. Or it wears off because, oh, look at the new model. Look at what it will do. And now once again, your cravings awaken because your satisfaction quotient has been suppressed. Because something better from the research and development department just came out. And if you only you could have that. I mean, once in a while I go into Blockbuster, get a movie, and they've got the brand new Blu-ray movies with the Blu-ray screen. It's like liquid. I'm like, I don't want one of those. But you know, if one of those things was tempting you, boy, they're just stunning, man. They're just unbelievable. The colors are just like liquid. Why? It's prettier than real life. Which once again, every time I look at the Blu-ray screen and go, nobody I know looks that good. Nobody I ever see looks that beautiful, perfect, lush. And once again, it's phony. But that's okay, because they'll just get you with it. Use your freedom to serve others. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware, you'll destroy each other. So I advise you, live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. See, real life, new life from the Holy Spirit of God. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, that one of the secrets to keeping sin from dominating your life is keep busy doing right. You sit around idle on your butt, and the cravings, it's hard to suppress them. And they come back, and the world lies you. The world keeps lying. The devil keeps lying. And then you go down the wrong road again, and you find this isn't making me happy, but you think it is for a time, and then it addicts you to more, and addicts you to more. Paul writes here, he says, I advise you, live according to this new life. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, and they are forces, are constantly fighting each other. And your choices are never free from that conflict. But when you're directed by the Holy Spirit, you're no longer subjugated, enslaved to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your life will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy of others, outbursts of rage, selfish ambition, division. Let me tell you again, drunkenness, envy, wild parties. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone who habitually lives like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Spirit of God is filling your life, He will produce this kind of fruit in you: love and joy. Well, we want joy. We want love. We want peace. See, we want patience. We want kindness. We want goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here, there's no conflict. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. You see, living in the Spirit, that's where real life is. It won't be too long. I will have been married almost 30 years. And I've told you before that certainly marriage has challenged me. And the reason it's challenged me for what dear Amber said up here tonight about our lives. We're selfish. I'll be the first one to admit that. I mean, it just raises its ugly head in me every single day. Selfish. But I can also tell you, honestly and in humility, that the Spirit of God raises His beautiful head in me every day as well. And it's been an extraordinary thing to live with this woman for almost 30 years and to experience together real life, real joy, real satisfaction, real peace, even in the midst of all kinds of turmoil, peace and goodness and love, real love. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. He came to forgive you, to rid you of guilt and shame. It's a horrible thing, man, isn't it? It's just like the shame and guilt that the sin and exploitation and enslavement of the world brings so much shame and guilt and bad feelings. Just makes you feel horrendous. And it works on you, doesn't it? It works on your spirit. Christ forgives us because Christ freed us. See? You can go ahead and get that. That's okay. It might be really important. You never know. You just never know. I doubt it, though, to be honest with you. I doubt it. Because, see, He's already talking through me. I'm not God. I'm just a channel for the Spirit of God to you. That's what we are to each other. We're a channel through which God wants to work. We're a channel. And when we're tuned in, we work the best. We experience the fulfillment and the meaning and the purpose and the joy that God intended. The world wants to exploit you. The world wants to enslave you. But Christ is the source of life. And I want you to bow your heads with me. And some of you here tonight, you don't know Christ. Others of you do, and we'll get to you in a moment. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. And I want to let you know that the only way that you're going to ever break the chains that bind you inside, and you know they're there, it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's through embracing Jesus Christ. He really is the Savior of the world, the Savior of human beings. He is the Savior of human beings. He saves you from the enslavement to sin and to your addictions. He's the only one who can break those bonds. He's the only one who really loves you for you. He loves you for you, not because of the size and shape of your body, or how wealthy you are, or how smart you are, or talented. He loves you just for you. And He wants to give you life. He wants to forgive you. And He will forgive you. You've got to come on His terms, and the terms are His Son. You embrace His Son. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Jesus said, "No man comes to God the Father except through Me." He is the door. That's what Jesus was saying. All others before Me came to destroy, to steal, to kill. But I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And I want you to have it abundantly. He not only wants you to have it abundantly, He wants you to have it eternally. And that's what He gives you. There are others of you here tonight, you know Christ. But you know you've been playing games. You know you haven't been taking these things serious. Maybe tonight the Lord kind of rang your bell just a little bit. Maybe tonight the Lord just kind of got your attention a little bit. Because even though you were set free, you're still living like a slave. And you still got false hope in the things of this world, that somehow they're going to bring joy to you. They're going to bring happiness. If you can only get there, you'll finally experience life. It's a lie. And once the devil loses you to Christ, then what he tries to do is lie to you and ruin your life. He tries to deceive you. So whether you know Christ tonight or don't, I'd like you all to bow your heads, and I'd like you to just talk to God right where you are, quietly, not out loud. As I pray, you can pray in your own heart, in your own mind, with words that God hears, just as if you were the only one talking to Him. And if you don't know Christ here tonight, I want you to tell Him, "Lord, I want You in my life. I want You to free me from sin. I realize I'm a slave to it. It says jump and I jump. It says go and I go. And I'm tired of it in my life. I want You to come and work in my life. I want You to save me from myself. Save me from the exploitation of the world, the enslavement of this world, and the lies and the destruction that Satan's been bringing in my life. Be my Savior. I put my faith, Lord, in You." If you know Christ tonight, and I want you to have your talk with Him. Tell Him, "You know what, Lord? I realize I've turned my back on You. I realize I've been deceived. I believe the lie. The devil is a liar. That's all he ever does is lie. Everything in this world, I don't have time to go into it tonight, has all been based on a lie. All of it. All of it. Constantly lying to you, to manipulate you. This book is the truth. And God wants to set you free. God wants you to walk in His ways. If you know Him here tonight, I want to encourage you. Start walking in His ways. Get your eyes open and walk in His ways. Heavenly Father, we just thank You tonight for the Word of God, for the truth, for this beacon of light in this dark, wicked world in which we live. We thank You, Lord, tonight that You are the way, You are the truth, You are the life, and You set us free. You give us real freedom from the things that enslave us in this world, the thoughts that enslave us, the habits that enslave us, the ideas that enslave us, the passions that enslave us. God, I just ask You to work tonight in each and every heart, each and every man, woman that's here this evening. Change their lives as they embrace you and as they embrace your ways, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.